All right, Proverbs chapter 15, look at verse number 13 with me. A merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance, but by sorrow of the heart the spirit is broken. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge, but the mouth of fools feedeth on foolishness. All the days of the afflicted are evil, but he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Better is little with fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. Can I just interpret verse 17? Better is a dinner with nothing but a salad than a T-bone steak if there's love involved. Yeah, let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity again to be here and be in your word. I pray your blessings upon it tonight. And God, that you would just do your work in our little bit of time that we're going to spend here in your work, in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I know this is going to be hard for you to believe, but occasionally I can still, this stage of life, get a little cranky. I can be cantankerous. I can have some days where I'm not just always super duper happy. I know every one of you, you're just pure joy all the time, but I sometimes still have days that I'm cantankerous. And it's on those days that I can still hear my mom and dad saying to me, "Boy, attitude check. Check that attitude. Attitude check. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am." Always those words would come on the heels of a bad attitude. My bad attitude, well, it could come at any moment, but it was most likely to rear its ugly head in the morning hours. See, I say I'm a morning person, and I am. I love the mornings. Absolutely, without a question, without a doubt, my favorite time of the entire day. I love mornings. I think sharper. I get more accomplished. I love mornings. But make no mistake about it. Mornings are meant to be slow, quiet, and alone. Leave me alone. Don't look at me. Don't breathe on me. Don't touch me. Don't talk to me. Don't touch my stuff. Don't ask me any questions. Leave me alone. Because I'm a morning person, for crying out loud. I love mornings. Just don't talk to me. Some of you can relate. Let me just ask this question. How's your attitude been this week? How's your attitude been today? There's a children's book with the title, Alexander and the Terrible, Horrible, No Good, Very Bad Day. It logs Alexander's day. Gum in his hair. He didn't get the prize in the cereal box. He had a lousy lunch. He was picked on at school. He had to make a trip to the dentist. He had to eat lima beans for dinner. No, I think you can understand. It was a terrible, horrible, no good, very bad day. Okay, let me not ask you, how's your attitude been this week? How's your attitude been today? But I'm going to ask it this way. How is your attitude on terrible, horrible, no good, very bad days? Do you show joy? Joy. It should be a chief characteristic in the life of every believer. It's the fruit of the Spirit. Joy, it's not the same as happiness. Happiness is bound up in happenings. Joy is internal. Happiness is external. Joy is abiding. It's there. It's with us. Happiness is based on chance. Joy, it's based on our choice. Happiness, again, is based on circumstances. Joy is based in Christ. And the Bible is very clear. God wants our joy to be full. In John chapter 15, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. 1 John 1:4, and these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Fullness of joy, it comes from one source, God's presence. Psalm 16, verse 11, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. And at thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. That's really what these verses are about. No, I'm not going to preach for 30 minutes tonight. And we can run through this fairly quickly. But I do think there's some truths that we need to point out and we need to see. And the very first thing that we need to see is that in verse number 13, there's a word that appears twice, and it is the word heart. Heart. See, a merry heart maketh a cheerful countenance. The reason that people are not happy, the reason that people are cantankerous, the reason that people do not have joy, it's a heart issue. It's a matter of the heart. Your attitude is something in which you should be concerned. To say that we are Christians and know God's joy, yet for it never to reach our face, or according to this verse, our countenance, it's a bad testimony to those around us, especially to the lost. This heart that it talks about, the merry heart, it's one that is filled with joy. And as a result, it causes you to be exceeding glad, and it's expressed in your face. This gladness does not come by mere human prosperity, but it truly comes from and is maintained by the blessings of the Lord. This joy comes from knowing the Lord Jesus Christ and His salvation and all that He offers us. It comes from knowing that God that loves us and that we are saved from the wrath of God through Him. This joy that floods our heart no matter what the outward circumstances. It's a joy that Peter expressed that is joy unspeakable and full of glory. It's a joy that's so great that I can't even express it. What are you so happy about all the time, Brother Tim? I don't understand it. Your wife, she's sour and... Man, I'm already in trouble with her, so why pick on anyone else? But you're always smiling and you're happy and you're saying amen. Why are you happy all the time? It's because there's something in his heart that's different than in the hearts of others. I find it disturbing that some are what I heard one preacher call lemon-sucking Christians. Oh, yeah. I looked at some pictures on the internet today, and I almost put them up on the screen, but two things. One, our screens are not working just real great right now. You know, these projectors that were supposed to last for years and years. Well, thankfully, they're still under warranty, but they're not lasting for years and years. They're giving us all sorts of issues. But secondly, I knew that once you saw the faces up there, the lemon-sucking Christians, that you wouldn't think of anything else. But I'm telling you, we preach to them. You see them. They're Christians that seldom ever have a joyful or cheerful expression on their face. They're always sour about something. It's almost like they are unwilling to be happy and joyful. They're gonna find the bad. They're gonna find the negative. They're gonna find the worst in everything. I'm gonna say it right off the bat. That is a horrible witness to Christ and to the salvation He brings. Why would anybody want what we have if we do not have joy with what we have, and it's not expressed on our face? So there's a joyful heart in verse 13, but there's a sad heart. Here's an amazing thing. The word used for sad heart here is a word, a sebet, which it clearly refers to emotional suffering. It's not usually used in the idea of pain or injury, and so it's a sadness of heart. It's really a fascinating study that I can't get into a lot tonight for the basis of time. But as I begin to study that word, a sebet, out, and I begin to look at it and what it is in the life of somebody scripturally, it means this. It's a kind of sadness or grief that is caused in the Bible by idolatry, according to Psalm 16. It's used again in Job 9 as a sadness that's there from somebody that has a fear of spiritual discipline over their sin. It's used in Proverbs 10 at those that wink the eye at evil plots. And so somebody might refer to this speak and somebody might say this word sad here. It's a broken heart. It's somebody who's sad over a loss of a loved one or somebody who's sad over something bad going on in their life. But that's not what this word is referring to. Everywhere else it's used in the Bible. This word, when it is used, this is a sadness that is brought on by disobedience, by sinfulness, and walk contrary to the ways of God. So this kind of sadness causes our spirits to be broken. And the word broken in our text, it means stricken, smitten, scourged. And so the idea here is that somebody, and I'm maybe getting a little bit ahead of myself, but somebody who has the right heart, they are joyful, and you can see that joy on their face. But somebody who has sorrow of the heart, that word sorrow, that sadness there, it's because there's something wrong with their heart. We could just stop right here. I could hammer down this point and we wouldn't have to go any further. You know why some of you aren't happy? Because your hearts aren't right with God. You know why you're not happy? Because you don't find your joy in the things of God. It's because you don't have the right relationship with Him. The reason that you have sorrow of heart, the reason that you don't have a smile on your face is the same reason that we find here is because there's disobedience, there's sinfulness, there's a walk in your life that is contrary to God. You show me a Christian out of step, out of tune with God, and I'm going to show you a Christian who does not have joy. It's impossible. You follow the prodigal son, and I know it's a parable, but follow the prodigal son. Find him in the hog pen. Do you think he had a smile on his face? Do you think he just got up every day and went to work whistling and singing songs and hymns and just having a great time? Or do you think he had a sorrow of the heart? I don't think there's a smile on his face. And so it starts with the heart. But look at verse 14. We'll move quick. The heart of him that hath understanding seeketh knowledge. But the mouth of the fools feed on foolishness. And so we see first that our heart affects our attitude. But we see secondly in verse 14 that our appetite affects our heart. So if our heart affects our attitude, we better figure out what makes my heart right? What affects my heart? Well, according to verse 14, our appetite is what affects our heart and whether it's right or wrong. And so the joy that comes from verse 14, that joy that comes there is a joy from somebody seeking after knowledge and understanding. Not just knowledge and understanding like you would get at a university or you would get by reading a book, but we're talking about the knowledge and understanding that comes from the Word of God, with walking with God, with knowing His will and His purposes for our life. And so those that are in God's Word and those that are hungry to know how to live according to God's purposes and plans, they're the ones that are happy. But notice the second half of the verse. It's even more descriptive. But the mouth of the fools feedeth on foolishness. The descriptiveness here is that fools feed on that which is utterly foolish. Feeding, it's a word used for grazing flocks. And so fools, the foolish one, they're nourished by the appetite, their appetites for sin and disobedience to God. They have no appetite for wisdom nor the things of the Lord. They understanding heart is totally different. It has an appetite for knowledge. And when we truly fear the Lord and receive Christ as our Savior, we receive a new nature. And with that new desire, with that comes new desires and new appetites. Just as babies should have a natural appetite, so believers should have a natural appetite. And it's for the Word. As newborn babes, Peter said, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. And so, our heart affects our attitude. Our appetite affects our heart. But I want you to see real quick in 15, 16, and 17, that affliction, it affects nothing for the one whose heart is right. Affliction, it affects nothing for the one whose heart is right. All the days of the afflicted are evil. Somebody who is foolish, somebody who is not right with God, this one that has sorrow of the heart, this one that feedeth on foolishness, the Bible says all of their days, they're afflicted, they're evil. There's nothing good. Good days, bad days. They're going to find something bad. They're going to find something wrong. Life is something they merely endure. But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual feast. Continual. regardless of the day. I've got tons of illustrations here. I'm only going to use one. Acts 16:25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. A prison? Poverty? Persecution? These are difficult things. None would argue. But if I or you were to face them, how would we face them? In each of these situations, in this situation, Paul and Silas, they faced them with joy. Which leads me to this question, how? Why? How could Paul and Silas sing at midnight? I told you I'm a morning person. By midnight, I don't sing. I don't talk in the morning, and my wife knows this. And I don't talk at night, because about 9 o'clock at night, I just shut down. So you show up at my house and find me singing at midnight. Okay, I've taken a little too much NyQuil or something. That's definitely the issue. How could they be singing at midnight? How could they sing in the midst of the unknown? How could they praise God being bound hand and foot by chains? I'm telling you, this doesn't sound like something to be celebrated. But we read that verse and we enter in to that jail cell with them, and it sounds a whole lot more like a celebration than affliction. How is that possible? Because they had a merry heart. They had a heart that was right with God. They had a heart that was set upon Him. And the natural outflow of a right heart is a cheerful countenance. And so Solomon concludes, you're a whole lot better off living in poverty and being right with God than having great treasures and being out of His favor. Better is a little with the fear of the Lord than great treasures and trouble therewith. Because you can have all of the treasures this world can afford you. But if you're not right with God, there's no joy. But you can have next to nothing and fear God and have all the joy that you could ever want. Better is a dinner of herbs where love is than a stalled ox and hatred therewith. You're better off eating with little on your table and having a family who's in love with each other and a family who's in love with God than a feast without it. The thought here really is one of contentedness. When things are right with God and you're truly walking with Him, you're going to be content. You're going to be joyful regardless of what you have or don't have. And so I told you, I can be brief. Let me finish the way I started by uttering two words. Attitude check. Attitude check. Why don't you be honest tonight? Be honest with yourself. Be honest with God. He already knows. Do you have a cheerful countenance? Before you answer that, you need to consider, is it reflective on your face and in your spirit? I'm not saying we go around with some cheesy grin all the time, but people should see a smile and they should know that we are happy in this life. Listen, if you're not happy, if you don't have joy, if you just find this life as a grind and you are constantly under a heavy burden and it is just a miserable thing that you're just enduring, I would ask you to consider tonight, according to these verses, that it's a strong possibility something's wrong in your heart. Might we need to, like Paul, learn to be that whatever state we're in, therewith to be content? I walked into Sunday school at the very end and on Sunday, and I left my keys in my office, so I was locked out, and the only way to get in was through this door up here. And so I walked in, and I came in, and I sat down and started listening to Brother Fowler because I didn't want to interrupt, and honestly, what he was saying was worthy to sit down and listen to. And he broke out in a song. And so once again, I thought, if he can break out in a song, I can break out in a song. Okay? If he can sing and others can sing, I'm the pastor of this church, for crying out loud. I can sing. So here it goes. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart. Down in my heart. I've got the joy, 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 joy down in my heart. Down in my heart to stay. No, I'm not going to sing every Sunday, so don't ask me. I that's why I haven't done it, because I knew from here on out, you're just going to expect me and ask me to sing every time. And my kids over here, I mean, they just, especially now, they're like, Dad, you got to do it, because they're not embarrassed at all. Do you've got the joy? Do you have joy? Joy, joy. Down in your heart. If you do, we'll see it on your face.